This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and thanks for joining me. Another beautiful marsh day. The cloud settling in. Can't see the poly right now, but as soon as it pops out, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, we'll get on with this. I think we have a pretty good show this morning. I wish I could talk like Ed Sullivan and be able to get that. But anyway, what we're going to be talking about is belly dancing. And I have two guests in the studio here with me, and they have what you call a shimmy showcase. They have the 2012 Hawaii Belly Dance Convention coming up, and that's going to be, it's really going to be hot. So, and I have Malia.
Good morning.
Bella Pena, and I also have Gina Snowden, and they're both part of this program. So, good morning, Malia.
Good morning.
And Gina.
Good morning.
If you could tell us what you have.
Thank you for having us, Carol. Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. We are here to talk about belly dance here in Hawaii and our annual convention coming up next month, October 12th through 16th, the annual Hawaii Belly Dance Convention. Mm-hmm. We'll be featuring visiting guest instructors, performing, and teaching seminars here. Mm-hmm. And you can find all the information on the website, Hawaii Belly Dance Convention.
.com?
Yes, sir. .com.
Okay. Hawaii Belly Dance Convention.com. And Gina, how are you? And you came in from California.
Originally, I'm from California, but I came in via the military. I was stationed here in 2000 and found Malia sometime after that. And I've been a student of hers for quite some time, off and on, until I retired. And now I'm a permanent student of hers and one of her amateur troupe, the Shimmy Stars.
The Shimmy Stars, I see. I was watching some of the video last night, and I was thinking there's not varieties. It's individuals can put their own a touch to belly dancing. And belly dancing, yes. Historically, I'll let you share with us where the history of it, the background. But it's just not using the belly to dance. It involves...
I like to use the belly a lot, but usually it's a lot of hip movements and isolations mm-hmm. and drills with the hips.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely having some belly movement helps with the belly dancing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every individual has their own twist that they add to it, depending on their background of dance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many different styles in Middle Eastern dance. If you attend the Shimmy Showcase on October 12th at the Doris Duke Theater, we'll be featuring all the different styles of Middle Eastern dance, kind of like visiting the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the different types of Polynesian dance. You have the Hawaiian, Samoan, Tahitian, and so forth. As visiting our events, you'll see the different styles of Middle Eastern dance, from cabaret to oriental to folkloric, tribal. It's going to be a really fun journey through Middle Eastern culture and dance.
Mm-hmm. And how many people? There was one lady that I saw in the video, Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to be here?
She's visiting from San Francisco with her whole dance company. It's Alexandria and her Gwazi, mm-hmm. and she's doing one of the oldest, most ancient forms of Middle Eastern dance. I can't wait for everyone in Hawaii to see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful. You can always Google Gwazi and learn more about it. Their mm-hmm. costumes are so elaborate and sparkly, and it's very much about the power of your hips.
And I want to make sure that we have, this is clear, Friday, October 12th, Shimmy Showcase, we call the gala showcase.
Yes, sir.
At the Doris Duke Theater, 900 South Baratania Street.
Yes, sir, in the Honolulu Academy of Arts.
Yeah. Yeah. Museum members, $20.
Mm-hmm.
General admission is $25. Mm-hmm. Students, $20.
Mm-hmm.
Military, $15.
Yes.
And children, 12 and under, $12.
Yes.
You're going to have Deb Rubin. I also saw some of the video of her. And tell us a little bit about Deb Rubin.
I'm so happy you looked into the videos. Yes, Deb Rubin is amazing. I met her last year at the Las Vegas Belly Dance Intensive. And she's a tribal belly dancer, but she has an intense background in flamenco and ballet.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes her performance and teaching style just extremely elegant and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to watch her dance. And her mm-hmm. isolations are insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're watching a magic show.
And the tickets are available at www. The average person knows now it comes without the www. But tix.com/event. Then... ASP, I guess.
Or the easier way to find it would be to visit the convention webpage, which is HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com. Or if you have any questions or concerns, you can always call this number, 234-1006. We can take your credit card over to the phone and send your tickets to you also. But the easiest way would be going to HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com.
Can they also get the tickets through Doris Duke?
Yes, they can. They can visit the theater during their normal business hours at the Honolulu Academy of Arts, Doris Duke Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which is an incredible theater. We got to practice there the other day, and we were so overwhelmed with pleasure being able to be on a real stage.
Yes.
And perform there, even for our practice. So we're really looking forward to it.
It's an intimate theater.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. We're mm-hmm. so excited. 280 seats, and it will sell out. So make sure you get your tickets soon.
Absolutely.
So speaking of tickets,
yes,
you say you want to give a complimentary ticket.
Ah, yes. We would love and be honored to donate 2 complimentary tickets
so
to this Shimmy Showcase.
So how do we do this? I'm not...
Should we make it a fun game
yeah.
somehow?
Why not?
Yeah. How do we do that?
Let's see who's on their toes this morning. And... make it like, I don't know, what's our lucky number for today? What's a good lucky number? 7?
Ooh,
how about the
7th
caller can win these 2 tickets to the Shimmy Showcase, the 12th of October at the Doris Duke.
524-1080. 524-1080. I don't know if that's the way they want to play, but I want a ticket.
You're coming to the show whether you like it or not, Carol.
Yeah.
Well, I've always, living in Los Angeles, having been around different people that did belly dancing and the culture and the Eastern Asia and all of that, Egyptians and what have you, it's awesome dance. Anytime you see it, not just for the aspect, but the colors and the
The sparkle and flash.
And I don't know if they say that as quiet as it kept. I don't want to shock some of the guys, but I was told every man has a little woman in him, and so therefore.
Show us, Carol.
I don't know if it's the gowns or the, what do you call those? The different
the
dresses.
Costumes? Yeah, the bedlas?
The bedlas, yes. That's right.
Yes, sir. We have actually many males that belly dance in the U.S. along in Egypt and the Asian cultures. Oh, my God, there's some amazing, amazing male belly dancers.
Right, and that's the misnomer that it's just for women.
True.
When, in fact, there is the actual cane dance that males do in that region or in that area.
Yes, and I'm actually a huge fan of the cane dance. Perform the cane dance often, and maybe you'll see it at the Shimmy Showcase. Yes, males have started with the cane dance, and they kill it. Tito Sarif was here a couple years ago, and he did a four cane dance.
Hello?
It was insane. Yes.
Yeah, so if you're the seventh caller and you'd like to call the Carol Cox Show, we will get you a ticket to the belly dance
Shimmy Showcase,
524-1080 if you'd like to participate, or you can pay for your own.
HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com.
Yeah. So when we talk about this, just backing up on the history of the belly dancing, it obviously that's not what they call it in the native tongue where it originates. It's called
Rakshaki. Yeah, it's the Middle Eastern term. And we coined it belly dance here in America in the early, I would say, 1930s.
Right, and
there's many different names for it, but yeah, that's what we go by here.
Yeah, the some call it Oriental dancing and all, but nonetheless,
that's a style also.
A style, yes. And it's absolutely it takes stamina too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you
you got to see Gina in class. She'll be sweating buckets of sweat, glowing.
Right. I've always got a fan. I'm always using my fan as well as whatever AC or windows are open in the room that we're practicing in because it really gets you going, especially the isolations when you're focusing on a specific muscle group and trying to get it to move independently of the rest of the body. That, I think, I sweat more. Than when we're actually
the slower
the
movements.
Room. Yes.
I mean, the shimmy is really good cardio, getting the heart rate going. But she's talking about the isolations of just moving one muscle. So maybe she's moving just the right hip on one leg and keeping everything else still.
Well, balancing perfectly, arms straight, head held high.
Breathing.
Oh, we can't forget to breathe. So
yeah, and I was watching Alexandra on the video, and unfortunately, you didn't send me any of the ones that you were.
Oh,
and
I'll send you some, sir.
She's so awesome. She is amazing, and I'm not just saying that because she's my teacher and friend. She is amazing.
You make me blush.
You would think that she grew up in the Middle East. The way that she dances is just absolutely amazing.
And then the Doris Duke Theater. That in itself, she was appreciative of the Oriental or Western or Eastern and what have you. The
sure
arts
was.
And
they're
she
so
focused.
Excited to have us, and we're so honored to be there.
So
you know, it's like a continuing a celebration of Doris Duke's life by us being able to put the show on at her theater because she did appreciate that culture so much.
So now you're a local girl,
yes, sir,
lady, I should say, and and a woman. So you're local and. Walk us back how you became involved and what attracted you to this, if
you
could.
Born and raised into a family of entertainers, musicians and actresses, and I was raised on the Big Island, actually, and studied martial arts most of my life. Always loved dance. Dance was my thing. And when I moved back to Oahu in my late teen years, I found ethnic belly dance offered. I tried it, fell in love immediately. The music, the culture, the movement, the costumes. Oh, my God. I fell in love, and I loved it. And I just started dancing because I loved it. I loved the way it made me feel. Belly dance made me appreciate being a female, what I was born with. It was confidence boosting. It was so feminine. No other dance made me feel like this dance. And I'd studied many different styles of dance, from jazz to ballroom, ballet, and a little bit of hula and Tahitian. But nothing made me feel like this is, to me, the most ancient form of dance. And I just started dancing and loving it. And everyone started asking for classes, and I wasn't trying to go in that route. I was just trying to perform. I just loved the dance. Mm-hmm. And eventually, so many people were asking for classes that I was like, okay, I'll teach some weekly classes. And then from there, it spun out into everyone wanting to perform. And I was like, okay, I'll start a dance company. Mm-hmm. And now I eat, sleep, breathe this dance for the last 12 years of my life. This mm-hmm. is what I eat, sleep, and breathe. I travel around the U.S. teaching and performing. I have two dance companies, the Belly Dancers in Paradise and the Shimmy Stars, which is Gina is involved with. And mm-hmm. 8 years ago, we started the Shimmy Showcase. Mm-hmm. So this is our eighth annual Shimmy Showcase event. Yes. And it started small. And now it's finally getting to that level that I'm so excited about, in a theater with lighting, and we have theater seats, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, I'd like to take this opportunity to mention with Malia how much she's given to us, the students. Like she said, she has two companies. One is a professional company, the Belly Dancers in Paradise. She started first, and she has a young lady on that that dance troupe that started dancing at the age of 9. Mm-hmm. And she is absolutely fabulous. She's a very responsible young lady, a very responsible young teenager, mm-hmm. and now she is a professional belly dancer. Probably
she's 15 now.
Probably one of the youngest in our country mm-hmm. that's a professional. When she started recently, the amateur group Shimmy Stars, that gave some of us regular people that aren't trying to make a living off of being a performer, may have never performed before, gave us an opportunity to kind of, I don't know, maybe try out the rest of our skin that we mm-hmm. didn't know we had. And a lot of the women are like military wives mm-hmm. and their husbands. It's so interesting because as a retiree, I've seen that side, the deployed side, a mm-hmm. lot. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, what it can do to a family. Mm-hmm. So being in that dance troupe and going to the classes and seeing these military wives with their husbands deployed actually becoming a family of sisters, mm-hmm. it really gives them an opportunity to have something to belong to and hold on to while their spouse is gone. And I don't know that a lot of people appreciate how much Malia has done for us. And she also mm-hmm. teaches on a military base at Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it gives us that opportunity to gather together as women. Mm-hmm. And of course, men are invited too. We would welcome them as Shimmy brothers just as much as we welcome our Shimmy sisters. But it's deeper than just you know, getting up on stage or wearing pretty clothes, that's absolutely the icing on the cake. But it does something to you internally. For me, 28 years in the military, male-dominated environment.
Right.
Coming out of that, I didn't know what femininity really was, to mm-hmm. be perfectly honest. I grew up in the military. So when I started belly dancing, it was an opportunity to mm-hmm. get in touch with that feminine power. That being feminine did not mean being weak, mm-hmm. that we could wear makeup and not mm-hmm. be weak, mm-hmm. that we can dress nice and not feel unempowered, but naturally we were being more and more empowered.
At the risk of sounding bigoted and chauvinistic.
Okay, take the risk.
Guys, I'm telling you, and ladies, you're looking at two picture-perfect, healthy people. And you have 28 years in the U.S. Air Force. You're retired. If you saw her, you would think she's this bubbly 26-year-old. And the same thing for Malia. No gray hair. No, and eyes as bright as the...
Thank you.
The sugar bat or whatever you call that thing.
Well, I like that.
But it says that belly dancing must be good. But you also teach yoga at
yes.
correct?
No, I teach yoga around the island. Mm-hmm. But I also go to school. I'm working on a master's degree in kinesiology and rehabilitation sciences. Mm-hmm. But I teach yoga primarily private classes, mm-hmm. and my yoga practice has been helped by doing belly dance,
yes.
as well as some injuries that I incurred during the military. Mm-hmm. I was able to rehab and continue to rehab some back and hip injuries through my yoga combined with the belly dance. Mm-hmm. Has been a really nice magical combination.
Perfect match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just so you know, there are other people that come to belly dance that are all different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
We have teeny little girls. We have tall girls. We have
grandmas.
Yep. We have grandmothers, mm-hmm. I being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, nice round bodies, and we have, you know, nice slim bodies where they say, oh, I don't have hips. They can still move it. So don't worry about size, shape, height. It does not matter. Age. Oh, forget about it. We don't even think about age. Just come.
Yeah, this is the Carol Cox Show. We're talking belly dancing, and I have Malia De La Pena and Gina Snowden, and it's going to be really good. They're going to dance their life away, and you can come and join in and watch Friday, October 12th, the Shimmy Showcase. And you know what's really comforting here? I'm sitting here a little nervous about this because, see, we said you can get a free ticket, complimentary ticket, if you're the seventh caller. Nobody's calling, and I'm sitting here going, please, maybe I don't want to call because I can use a ticket. So if you're daring to call in fact, 524-1080, and I'm not begging you to call in, but if you're interested and want to go.
Well, why don't you call anyway?
Yeah.
And we'll ask you some questions, and if you get the answers correctly.
Yeah, but anyway, that's it's really good. And I just like to sometimes, because I grind every day. I mean, it's then to think, well, what about the social aspects of life? You know, I've fixed it, and you can breathe clean air, and you can drink clean water. But now I need to rest and entertain myself. So do others. So that's why I put this piece together.
Yay.
Yeah, this was great.
Good morning, Carla. You have a comment, a question, or...
Oh, good morning. I just turned on the radio and was hearing bits about it, so it sounds really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to try belly dancing, but I didn't hear the name of the place where we're supposed to call to maybe take some classes.
Good morning, yes.
Good morning.
The annual convention is coming up October 12th through 16th, and for more information on that, you can visit the Hawaii Belly Dance Convention.com.
Okay.
But if you're interested in classes, you can visit my website, which is maliadelapena.com. And I can send you all the information there. Or just Google belly dance. There's many instructors and lovely performers out here.
Okay, but your name is Malia.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. Good morning. What was your name?
Elizabeth.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Thank you for calling in.
Show up, Elizabeth. You won't regret it. You'll love it, love it, love it.
Okay, it sounds exciting. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a great morning.
Thank you.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Bye.
Now, you danced at one of the places, the Pyramids.
I danced there for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they have gone out of business at this time. They changed ownership, and I guess that didn't go well. But we do dance twice a month at the Himalayan Kitchen on Wailai.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing Indian cuisine featuring some belly dance twice a month on the first and third Sundays of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recall, as I was telling you when we first talked, I recall my friend's wife put on a birthday party for him there, and you danced.
Yay.
And that's how I remembered. And when I met, what's her name, the young lady that introduced me to you?
Oh, Renata.
Renata, who jogged.
Good morning, Renata.
Yeah, if she's listening out
sure
there.
I'm sure she's listening in.
And so it's all about health. And that's why when you look at Renata, I see her running every other day, 8 o'clock on the schedule, and she's doing, I don't know,
she
5, 6
miles. She
loves
to take care of her fitness, that girl.
And so the three of you, and I looked at Alexandra and the video she had, and as you described, people of all sizes and shapes, and they weren't shy about it.
Nope.
Weren't focusing on themselves. Apparently, belly dancing really not only looks good, but feels good.
Absolutely.
And it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. I really believe belly dance can benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as far as the size goes, well, you know, there are a lot of really cute little teeny petite girls that do belly dancing.
Mm-hmm.
To really see the moves and really explore the moves with the visual perception, you have to see a little belly, you have to see some behind, and you have to see some hips. So it actually benefits you
the more
to have
you
some curves to do this dance. So that's a plus.
Good morning, Carly. You have a comment, a question?
Hello, Carol. This is Lee over in Waikele.
Yeah, Lee, how are you?
I'm very interested in this because my wife is from, she's from the Philippines, and I told her when I brought her over we were going to take salsa. But I also have a very high respect for flamenco and belly dancing, and it really sounds exciting. So where is the performance going to be?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling in. The performance will be October 12th at the Shimmy Showcase at the Doris Duke Theater. And that's a Friday evening. The doors open at 6, and the show will begin at 7:30. You can get tickets at the HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com.
Okay, that sounds very good.
We'd
very
love
good.
To have you.
Well, okay. Lee, you can call me if you forget it. And good to hear you. You're doing okay out there. And how's your son and your wife?
Both of the boys are doing quite well. And the youngest one just came back from Africa working on a cargo ship. He went to so many different ports. Those guys, they still blow me away.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, and the other one is also in the military,
oh, wow.
The Navy.
Navy, okay.
Yeah, he's on the USS Carl Vinson, and I
wow.
just talked to him the other day, and he asked about you, Carol. He said to tell you hello.
All righty, well,
sweet.
Likewise. But if you run into problem finance or remembering, give me a call, and I'll have that info.
Fantastic,
all
and
right.
so is your program.
All righty.
Have
hey,
a wonderful
thank you.
Morning.
Take
thank
care, Lee.
Okay.
All right, Lee, thank
we'll
you.
We'll see you at the show.
Thank
Aloha.
You.
All right,
okay.
Aloha.
Bye.
Anyway, the if you would, for me, if I were to play a song, one of the belly dance songs, and I've often wondered, how do you start, not that it's so scripted, that... If I play a song, can you just tell us how it would work, you as a dancer?
Oh, boy.
And I'll play
okay.
it soft, if you would.
Do a because, walkthrough?
Yeah, because okay. I watch
well, be
belly
fun.
Dancing, and I see, and I think, well, how do you even know to do this?
Oh, my God. The movement will tell you, the music will tell you how to do the movement. That's what I do. The music mm-hmm. stimulates the interest in the movement.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a counter. I'm not, oh, God, I need to bust this move out here right now. I need to show off this move. The music motivates me to move. And I like all kinds of music. We dance to all types of music.
And the reason I ask that, because I'm one of those people, don't give me a script for anything. I can't remember a line. I'm dyslexic. I can't remember a move. But I like to dance. So I know how to do the cha-cha-cha. I know
oh,
how to do
nice.
The electric slide. But I... despise. I hate to stand in a group and dance like a herd of zebras.
I'm sorry. No flash mob for you.
No. I would be the guy who will mess it up. So it's always so. If you could
improv, you could always do.
Yeah. If I play this, if you could just tell us how
okay.
you would adopt.
Okay, thank God I had my espresso this morning. Let's see how this goes.
Oh, that's right. You had it. Let me put a faster one on.
Beautiful. I would probably use a silk veil, and it would enter gracefully and flowing across the stage or dance floor. A traveling step using hips and arms and hands. Maybe a spin into a hip circle. Maybe what I call some shoulder rolls or snake arms, undulating the energy down the body into some belly rolls. Maybe adding some hips here, some figure eights, into a big hip circle and shoulders. Mm-hmm. And whipping my hair back and forth. And back to traveling, a little skipping twirl across, traveling across the stage, spinning with the veil, adding a flourish with the veil, using hands and arms and hair. Adding, some belly undulations here. Belly pops and rolls. Oh, Gina's dancing next to me. She's distracting me. I'm sorry.
I'm following your choreography in my chair.
Some chest circles and figure eights. Undulating into the shoulder rolls. Adding some hand circles. Undulating the veil along the side of the body. I like to make circles around the body with the veil. Some visual stimulation. And floating the veil behind us as we track across the stage. Floating across the stage. Some hip work here, some locks, figure eights. Maybe busting into some little Hawaiian amis right here, little circles. Adding some fusion in, and belly. Ooh, I like your music, Carol.
Yeah,
ooh, are you dancing
nice.
Too, Carol?
This is really nice.
Very slow and sensual.
Yeah, well, this music is always just so good, and when you're sitting around and listening to it. I wouldn't listen to it every day, but on occasions, if I were to listen, especially in Los Angeles,
yeah.
I just enjoy that. And after you drink a strong Turkish or Jordanian coffee.
Yes.
Oh.
You can see yourself there.
Yeah, many times they have to say, no, 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 we're not breakdancing, Carol. But anyway, I'll let this play out. And then
the music just really speaks to your body, to that part of you that doesn't rationalize or have to second guess or anything. If you just allow the music to just speak to your body. In class, oftentimes, Malia will say, don't think of it too hard. You're mm-hmm. thinking too hard.
Overprocessing
just,
it,
just
right?
Let it go and just listen to the music. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. when I get it a lot of times, is when mm-hmm. I stop thinking so hard mm-hmm. and just let the music take me.
Yeah. 524-1080 if you have any questions or if you're interested. I'm sitting here talking to two awesome people, ladies, women, dancers, belly dancers, in fact, talking about the Shimmy Showcase. This is an annual belly dance convention with Malia De La Pena and Gina Snowden. Guys, I'm telling you, and girls and ladies, if it, what I like about living here in this state or in this country, the different cultures.
Yes.
And you don't need, in this case, I can take $20 and travel around the world and go back to the eastern region and
true.
Learn a little history and be taken abroad just by sitting there and yes. filling in, because that's what it does. It stimulates your mind, and it allows you to travel. For me, at least, I should say
absolutely.
That, describe it. I don't know. Some people may be locked in and going, I want to stay right here and do it. But but for me, that's why I love here. Any given day or any moment, you can go into an Indian restaurant. You can go into a Korean restaurant, a Japanese
very true.
Restaurant.
Very true.
I mean, I didn't see the guy at the pearly gates, but I think that's where I am.
I agree.
You're in paradise. You're in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Yes, well, sir.
So do you give talks to different groups or demonstrations or maybe to, let's say, curves? You mentioned curves. Do you go to ladies groups, men groups, and make a presentation and...
We do many lectures and traveling seminars and offering free lessons, and we offer performances and we donate them to special causes and things. There's women's groups. I've done yacht clubs. There's all kinds of special events. And mm-hmm. yes, I have taught many different styles of belly dance at a Curves in Hawaii Kai mm-hmm. and many different dance studios all over the island, mm-hmm. along with the U.S. as well. Mm-hmm. We give lectures and we... Our main focus is to educate Hawaii on the Middle Eastern cult and culture mm-hmm. and make sure that they know it does exist here. Mm-hmm. And it's not stripping. No, it's not. This is a very respectable form. And that's a lot of what we run into. We run into that question all the time. Do you remove your clothing? No, sir. No, ma'am. We do not. I'm so sorry.
No.
You're confused.
Well, that's just
not
remember,
that kind of show.
Remember, well, it was adopted back in the 1800s or the Romantic period.
Yes.
And Europe. But even the French... put the belly dance.
Dance du Venture, yes,
but,
yes.
But nonetheless, it's not about sex and attracting a sex partner.
It is very feminine and sensual, but no, it's definitely, that's not how I look at it.
Right.
Now, everyone looks at it in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Some women want to be extremely sexual and do it in that sexual manner, mm-hmm. but that's usually not Middle Eastern art.
Yeah.
That's usually nearby a pole. Usually.
But it's okay, too. I mean,
and that's totally that's fine. And it's beautiful. It Those girls work it.
Yeah, and I was at the Hawaii Kai boat parade last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a boat dedicated to belly dancing. And or there were several dancers on top of the boat.
Wow!
Wow, we missed it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was actually awesome.
How wonderful!
Nice.
I still have the video because I shot some of the video. I might post that on my I have
That'd
it on my iPad. So
oh.
if it's still there, I think I'll post it. It was
yes, sir.
That would be great.
I'm visiting a friend of mine, Chuck Johnston, and the parade comes by his house, and yeah, they were the full boat, just
wonderful
dancing. And
what's better than that? I'm not sure.
Belly dancing on the water. Well, I know I have more than two callers, but they may be shy and don't want to dance. But again, we have a complimentary ticket here, 524-1080. Don't ever say this show's never given you anything.
So, I love it.
But I guess they're all shy right now, but, you know.
It's early.
And then the problem is this is only one ticket. So
two complimentary tickets.
You're going to give two. So
yes, sir.
You have to go.
The Hawaii Belly Dance Convention is donating two tickets to the Carol Cox Show.
I mean, that's $40.
$50, yes.
And great pleasure. So, I mean, if you think it's
going to be a wonderful show.
If you think it's a trick, I'll show you it's not because I'll use them. And you don't have to buy anything. 524-1080. And who knows? There might be some lucky caller that gets out there, but I will definitely be there. And the first one at the Doris Duke is going to be on the 12th of October.
Friday night, the 12th of October. Yes, sir.
And how long will that go? I mean, once the dancing get going.
Mm-hmm. The doors will open at 6. We'll mm-hmm. be mingling. There'll be lots of different things going on. You'll have to see when you get there.
Yes.
There's a lot of surprises.
There's going to be some really amazing
definitely
things.
And the show will begin at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And we have a little intermission in between, and then we'll continue on till about 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then after that, we'll probably be all going out in for cocktails and after party. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday and Sunday is the seminars featuring all the visiting instructors. Deb Rubin, who is tribal style. Alexandria, who studies the ancient form of Gwazi, will be sharing that with us, along with Andrea Aranda, mm-hmm. who is an amazing oriental style belly dancer who also mixes in some Bollywood and Bhangra. Mm-hmm. She'll be performing some Bhangra for the Shimmy Showcase also. And last but not least, we have Sabrina coming all the way from San Diego. Mm-hmm. And she is a beautiful, beautiful Egyptian Oriental dancer. I love to watch her dance. Mm-hmm. And she travels around the world teaching as well. And she'll be teaching a seminar on stage presence. So even if you're not a Middle Eastern belly dance and you want to work on
absolutely
commanding the stage and having stage presence, Sabrina will be teaching a workshop, a seminar based on that during the Hawaii Belly Dance Convention.
Yes, there's a performer in all of us. Everybody wants to perform, even if it's just in their own mind. So this is an opportunity for you to do that, you mm-hmm. know, in a very low-key, non-threatening, nurturing even mm-hmm. environment.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question? You're number three. How are
I
you?
I would love to have to take my daughter to the show.
Good morning. Good We'd morning. Love to have you. It's
okay.
The Shimmy Showcase on Friday, October 12th at the Doris Duke Theater at the Honolulu Academy of Arts, or now the Honolulu Museum. They've changed their name.
Yeah, right, right.
We'd love to have you. But how old is your daughter?
Oh, well, I'm a senior citizen, and she's
great.
Almost a senior citizen.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'd love to have
that is
you.
Awesome.
It's $25 general admission, and we also offer military and student and museum member discounts. You can purchase tickets online at the HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com, or you can visit the theater if you'd like. Or if you want, you can call me, and I can charge you over the phone and mail the tickets directly to you if that's easier.
And where do you give lessons? Where is it?
All over the island of Oahu. We have weekly classes. Sundays in downtown at the Dream to Dance Studio. Tuesdays downtown at the Al Franz Studio. And Thursday evenings at the Pearl Harbor Joint Fitness Center on the military base.
And anybody can get on the base?
If you have military access, you can get on the base. But other than that, you would have to visit the ones off of base in Honolulu.
Oh.
And Malia also does private sessions.
Yes,
I've
ma'am.
Been lucky enough to have some of her private classes as well, and they are totally worth what she charges, which is not terribly much compared to a lot of things these days. I think she's undercharging sometimes. But at any rate, if you're interested and you just don't want to even go to the class, or if you have a special event, like maybe you know, a party or something, or just you and your daughter, she could actually arrange something so you guys have a private lesson.
You could do a little intimate group lesson if you want to invite your close friends and family to do a little group lesson. We can do that.
Sounds good. Uh-huh.
Options
yeah, well,
are endless.
I'll go onto the website and,
yes, ma'am.
And see what happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
this
much.
This is a nice segue, maybe, from Carol's show.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Thank you. Oh,
it's, nice. It's really, really, I love it. His topics are always interesting, sometimes controversial, but this is intriguing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be a fan.
Thank you so much for calling in, and we hope to see you at the showcase on October 12th.
Thank you very
Wonderful
much.
Wonderful meeting you. Have a great day.
Okay,
aloha.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Yeah, see, most of the times I'm tap dancing on someone's desk going, you can't do that to the people. You can't do that. and then they throw me out of my head. But no, but it's all good, you know. We can't go without some kind of fight, but dance is dance. I mean, when you talk about break dance, you talk about flamingo, tango, and amazingly, the dance shows.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to see a real belly dance show on TV. Why is that? I mean, it is popular.
Fitness programs.
A dance, because it has a lot to offer, but. Why? I mean, think about
actually,
that. There's your first show for Hawaii.
Oh, my God. I would love to do a reality show. I don't think the world could handle my life, though.
I've been telling her for ages now that she should have a reality show.
I want one so bad.
You
but,
should see what she does and mm-hmm. just and how much energy she
crazy.
Puts out there. It's mm-hmm. it's amazing. I will go to class dragging. Mm-hmm. And by the time class is over, I'm, like, ready to get on with my day, and it's, like, 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, I want to clean out the garage and do all this other stuff. I have so much – I'm infused with so much energy. So to see what she does, just from my perspective, mm-hmm. and while she's teaching the class, knowing that she's going on to another rehearsal, another private, doing a performance in a couple of hours, you know, all these things, that arranging for the convention, traveling in a
busy,
few months.
Busy, busy.
It's just – insane what she does.
I love it, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's my world.
Yeah,
I have amazing, amazing people in my life that are supportive, mm-hmm. amazing friends, amazing dancers that are supportive and motivating and make me work harder, and I'm extremely driven. People say that when they come to visit from the mainland, they meet me and we hang out and see like these visiting instructors come down. Mm-hmm. And I'll take them on a catamaran booze cruise, and then I'll take them on a Hawaiian hike for Hawaiian lunch and things like that. And by the time they leave, they're like, wow, Malia, I'm on your buzz. Like, I'm getting a million things done, and I'm going to do this show now, and I'm going to do that class now. And I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah. The high energy, I think, rubs off.
Yeah. Now, you, Gina, you mentioned you were a grandmother.
I am. I'm retired
recent. Military.
Yes.
And how about you? You have
grandmother,
children?
No, sir.
Your children?
I have doggies.
Just cute.
But I consider a lot of my girls, you know, my dancers yes. and my dance companies, to almost be like my children or my sisters, mm-hmm. like really much. I feel like Mama Hen a lot. You'll see me. Yeah, you'll come see the show.
It's kind of nice to let go of the reins for especially somebody like me who's had to always be the one, you know, supervising and herd cats and things like that. It's kind of nice to be one of the cats to be herded for a change.
And were you deployed abroad?
I was not in the recent conflict, but for Operation Provide Comfort, I was stationed in Turkey. Mm-hmm. I was deployed to Turkey. And actually, that's where I fell in love with belly dancing mm-hmm. when I first joined the Air Force. Mm-hmm. I was deployed to Turkey in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And we went to a dinner, and there was a belly dancer there. And like you said, I mean, when you said that about eating, drinking the really strong
coffee,
you just don't even know how you transported me back to sitting on the, you know, those little side cafes and Incirlik Turkey or mm-hmm. Adana Turkey or Konya even, drinking the little hot.
The ouzo?
Yes,
I'm sorry, nobody mentioned
ouzo,
that yet.
The hot tea, the strong
hookah.
Coffee. Yes, all that stuff. And then this dancer, she came up and started dancing. And it was like, here's all these pilots and maintenance people, all these, you know, really rambunctious military
right.
people. You could hear a pin drop on
yeah.
the carpet.
It's
it
interesting,
was just so
right?
amazing.
When I'm
it
dancing,
was.
I hear it too. I'm like, did everyone just totally turn everything off?
Yes.
It kind of scares me when I'm on stage.
Because you think they're not going to respond
like,
to you,
is
but we're just
scared?
In shock. You know?
Right.
And mm-hmm. ever since then, that was it. So when I met Malia, that was like a dream come true. But I was still active duty, and I couldn't do it all the time. So I kept telling Malia, as soon as I retire, I'm going to be there full force. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad now that I can. But it's so been exciting. A long journey to get here. So.
And I saw on one of the videos, someone was doing something. It was a kind of a jazz beat. With interspersion, there was some jazz. I was surfing the internet on YouTube, and I thought that sounded rather jazzy, but it was really cool.
So everyone puts their own twist on their performance style and their style. So if you come to the Shimmy Showcase on October 12th, you'll see everyone has their own twist and own style. So if you have a background of dance, it's impossible to ignore that while doing Milisir dance. So you'll notice that when you come to watch all the different performers and different groups, everyone has their own twist and style to add to it. Mm-hmm. You may see a lot of things that you're blown away to see at this Middle Eastern dance. There'll be some Bhangra, some Indian style, maybe even some African-fused music, along with the old traditional folkloric style, which I appreciate so much, and cabaret, some Oriental. You'll see. I can't wait for you to see, Carol. We're going to blow your mind.
Yeah, well, definitely. Will be there to at least one of the events because it's just the occasion to go out and feel different.
Get dressed up.
Things.
It's a gala event. Wear your gown. Wear your suit.
Now, let me ask you, if you get involved in dancing,
yes.
Where do you get the...
The costumes?
Costumes. And how is that a special issue or not
no,
issue,
not
but
issue.
Where do you order? Or you just make your own?
At the convention during the seminars on Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th, during the seminars, we will have many vendors visiting from all over. People who custom make costumes, use costumes for sale, brand new costumes. And actually, I always have costumes for sale. As knowing so many dancers in this world, if you contact me and you're looking for something special, I can definitely provide that for you. You can also search online and buy things off online. There's a great vendor vending at the Hawaii Belly Dance Convention. Her name is ShimmyChic.com is her business. And she can custom create and have costumes made perfectly for you along with props. You can also find things online or you can have something custom made from you in Egypt. The possibilities are endless. But if you want to locally shop, come down to the convention, the HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com. We'll have sparkly hip scarves to blinged out jewelry to custom-made hair accessories from Miss Cat Wings. She makes custom flowers for your hair. Oh, my God. I can't wait to do the shopping. Yes. I'm saving money now just for the shopping.
The shopping is going to be when?
The convention. 13th and 14th of October at the Ala Moana Hotel where the seminars are being held.
What times?
The convention is held from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and the vendors will be there throughout the day.
Okay. Sunday, October 14th, the Shimmy with Aloha Weekend workshops, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Commanding the stage with Sabrina.
That's the seminar with Sabrina. Yes, right. And that's for any dancer or performer can attend that. You don't have to be a Middle Eastern belly dancer to perform or to engage in these workshops and seminars. You will learn something, I promise.
At 12 to 2, this is what caught my interest, the tension of opposites.
Ooh, this is the workshop with Deb Rubin. Ooh, boy.
Now, what is that?
Oh, my goodness.
Tension of opposites.
In this workshop, she's going to be exploring the delicate interplay between two opposing forces, balancing slow and swiney and serpentine fluid transitions and movement with quick, sharp, and crisp isolation hits that Gina was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go from how I was kind of dancing you through the music earlier, we're going to go from slow, sensual fluid into what she was talking about earlier, the isolations, the quick one movement. So your belly is popping or your hip is lifting and dropping to a certain beat or you got a really quick dynamic shimmy going on and then doing a chest pop. I call it layering. You will see how amazing this dancer Deb Rubin is. She's visiting from San Francisco all the way to Hawaii to come and visit us, performing in the Shimmy Showcase. She's our headliner and then she'll be teaching this workshop on Sunday along with a couple workshops on Saturday. You can Google her, Deb Rubin. She is amazing.
Now, I one of the things that I'm interested, the navel. I noticed in
the tummy
yes. area, and doing some reading, it talked about the various navels and the T shape and all. And is that part of the emphasis that
every belly shape, size, belly button is approved and welcome. Everyone has their own thing, and everyone moves their belly in different ways. I love that. I love moving my belly. It also, the all the good things that come along with moving your belly. It helps with massaging all your vital organs, mm-hmm. with digestion. It helps with posture.
Yeah.
Doing belly rolls and belly isolation has helped my stomach and mm-hmm. my tummy mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my mother had 10 children, and I am number 9 of 10.
Wow.
And she said, of course everybody has that joke about, oh, if you had 10 kids, they must come out really easy. And she says that's not true, actually. Her 9th and 10th, starting with me, were her easiest births because there was a nurse, a mm-hmm. Middle Eastern nurse, in the room when she was in labor, and she taught my mother how to roll her stomach.
Oh, my goodness. How
and
amazing.
She said that really – it was before, Lamaze wasn't a big deal back then, and she actually helped deliver me mm-hmm. by rolling her stomach. And since
exactly.
then, of course, I had no clue. I mean, it goes to show you how the universe works, doesn't it? But I had no clue that that was – about belly dancing or anything. She just always told me that story. It wasn't until decades and decades later that I found out from my Middle Eastern friends over the year that that's what they did. The ladies got together, mm-hmm. because they usually segregated the men and women in right. a lot of Middle Eastern cultures. Mm-hmm. And so the women entertained each other with mm-hmm. belly dance, mm-hmm. but they also taught their young girls from a very, from as before they could even walk, young girls were starting to do some of the movements. And so it helped them with their menstrual cramps. It helped mm-hmm. them with
preparing for childbirth.
Yes, for childbirth, for everything.
And actually re-engaging all those muscles after childbirth.
That's right. It really helps with the postpartum recovery. Mm-hmm. So these were things that the women did together. And so they were. So this goes to show, again, like we talked about, this is not necessarily about stripping or anything like this, because originally women just did this together. For themselves, mothers taught
health
daughters.
Health and fitness.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it was how they entertained themselves, because
yep,
they were in such a cloistered society mm-hmm. and they didn't have TV.
There was no iPads.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no iPads. And no, but obviously there's a benefit to it health-wise and mentally and physically.
Oh, definitely.
And,
yes,
and
sir.
That's spiritually.
We wouldn't love it so much if it didn't.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Again, give your website, your contact information, the two
my
of you.
My personal contact is mm-hmm. Malia De La Pena. You can mm-hmm. visit my website, maliadelapena.com, or just Google Malia Belly Dancer Hawaii. You'll find me, I promise. Mm-hmm. And the convention is Hawaii Belly Dance Convention, and you can visit that online, hawaiibellydanceconvention.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina's one of my friends on Facebook.
Yes.
And you have Facebook, so they
yes,
can Facebook
sir.
You there,
we have
right?
a Facebook page for the convention, and along for myself, and along for the Shimmy Stars.
Yes.
There's many beautiful, amazing belly dancers out here in Hawaii. So if you want to research it, I'm sure you can find us online. There's many of us.
Well, we'll keep plugging you. I'm sure this we here at the station love to support and people be inspired to get out and get
and
about
do this. Mm-hmm. I'd like to also mention that Malia, she's so bubbly and everything, but she always forgets to plug all herself. She's got so much going on. But one of the things I'm so proud of her about, because I was one of her earlier students, is that she basically has developed a new form of aerobic fitness called shimmy fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a whole genre of aerobics exercise. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, if you don't want to come to the classes and learn how to perform belly dancing, just come to the shimmy fitness class and get your fitness on.
Mm-hmm.
The movements are not that difficult. She teaches to the level of the class. So when beginners are there, she takes it down and it's more basic and we mm-hmm. all can enjoy it. And when, the regulars are there, she challenges us by taking it up a couple of notches. And she's individual. She knows what you're doing. She says, Gina, get on your toes. You do this. You over there, make it harder for yourself. So she's she really gets to be in touch with all of her students, not just her dance troupe people.
I call it a fun feminine, letting your hair down and letting it go and just dancing. The shimmy
yes.
fitness. Shimmy-fitness.com.
Alrighty.
You can Google
and
that too.
One other thing is that she also is on Rocks.
Yes, so. I teach online classes online on rockstv.com, RAQSTV.com. We hope to see you all at the Hawaii Belly Dance Convention next month, everyone, October 12th through 16th. You can visit HawaiiBellyDanceConvention.com for more information, to sign up, to buy tickets, register for workshops, or just to see more information. Why don't we do the next caller, Carol? Would that be okay? Next caller gets the two complimentary tickets?
The next caller. We have about a minute. Callers,
yes, sir.
If you want
next
to.
Caller.
Didn't get 7, but that's okay. Next caller, 524-1080. You can get two complimentary tickets.
You're our lucky caller.
So Anyway, I appreciate the two of you coming in, Gina and Malia, Gina Snowden, Malia De La Pena.
Yes,
sir. Oh, it was awesome. Our pleasure.
I appreciate you taking the time and sharing with us and coming in and considering us. So thank you. And it, by the way, it wasn't a paid commercial. This was something we want to give back to the community.
We so appreciate you, Carol. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you all for listening. And have a wonderful, beautiful, blessed day.
And we'll be back in the second hour. And see you shortly.
Mahalo.
Thanks, Carol.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
The things that I used to do, Lord, I won't do no more. The things that I used to do, Lord, I won't do no more. I used to sit and hold your hand, baby, cry, begging you not to go. I would search all night for you, baby. My search would always end in vain. I would search all night for you, baby. Lord, and my search would always end in vain. But I knew all along, darling, that you was hit out with your other man. I'm going back to my family too. I'm going to send you back to your mother, baby. Lord, and I'm going back to my family too. Cause nothing I do that please you, baby, Lord, I just can't get along with you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I hope that you enjoyed the earlier one. And again, I do still have two tickets, so we'll figure out some way to. Some of you may be shy, or some of you might have all kinds of money and don't need a complimentary, but that's the way it is. So anyway, welcome back, And we're going to be talking about a couple of issues, rather old issues, but new problems. And we'll be talking about DHHL, and we'll get show on the road. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello, Mr. Cox.
Yes.
I have a new problem. My condition is I live very Spartan at home. I don't have my refrigerator plugged in. I don't have a TV. I have gas heat. And my power bill has normally been around 45 kilowatt hours. My last power bill went up to 275 kilowatt hours, and I don't know what to do beyond having contacted the customer service at the power company, and they said they'd send somebody out to do a rereading.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can add to this, sir, is in the media maybe a week, two, or three ago,
mm-hmm.
there was a man that hired an electrician to come to his house, and there was no way this electrician could support the amount of electricity the electricity company claimed this man used. What can I do? What should I do? And have you heard anything about this?
I've heard about the story and saw a bit of it where he was being charged, and there was the PUC apparently was going to handle this. I can check into it, and you can give me a contact number, send me an email. I can check into it and get back to you.
Yes, sir. I went to the governor's office, and I went to the lieutenant governor's office, and they don't have a task force to speak of, but they did refer me to the Public Utilities Commission. But I'm kind of dead in the water waiting for either a rush, which may not happen, or a one-week to two-week reread of my meter.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady at the customer service department seemed like she wanted to just push my boat down the road. She said, oh, do you have a refrigerator plugged in?
Mm-hmm.
She was the first thing she went to was, yeah, the bill's correct. Instead, oh, my God, I see. You get 275 kilovolts instead of something around 45.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have access to email?
Yes, sir.
Send me an email at carol@carolcox.com and give me state your problem, and I will call around and ask and get back to you.
Okay, I'll try to do that as best I can, but I'm on Hotmail.
That's fine.
I haven't seen my Hotmail account, and they canceled the whole Hotmail system,
mm-hmm.
so I just don't know how quickly you'll get it, but it'll probably be within a week.
Okay, well, it depends on how sudden you need a response. But anyway, you can try and give me a call later on, 782-6627. Maybe we can get info from you on that. But if your issue is pressing, a week wouldn't be logical to...
No, it's not pressing. It's just a condition right now.
Right. And
if they don't relent or whatever...
Revisit and re...
Yeah, if they don't revisit it and give me a satisfactory result, then I'd really like to have something powerful behind me.
Okay, well, I thank you for considering us powerful, but we'll just ask and get back to you. But do that. Give me a call later on.
Okay.
And I'll take your contact information down, okay?
Okay. I don't have a phone, so everything I'm doing, I'm bumming phones and computer services and stuff, yeah. But I will make the effort. And you believe I should do it sooner or after I go get into a deeper conflict with them?
I'm not familiar with your situation in depth detail, but if you believe, I'll leave that up to you as the suddenness or the immediacy that...
Okay, the condition is they went up to 275 kilowatt hours, and I didn't even charge a car, had no construction, it just went boom.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's to pay that $5 million bonus they gave to the CEO, that lady.
Yes, sir. Well, I'd be interested in hearing anything else on the show that might pertain to it,
okay.
Or whatever else you bring up. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Goodbye, Carol.
Aloha. Well, sometimes you want to help, and then when you hear them say, I contact the governor's office and I contact the lieutenant governor's office, and you just have to, you know, deep down inside you know what's happening. Well, you shouldn't have to call the governor for anything. The system should be well-oiled and working properly on behalf of people, but in this system we've come to learn you either put some money in an envelope or get out and wave signs and do all that for them, and they will take care of your specific needs. But as a community, we're left alone to fight, and not to say that what this gentleman has presented is factual. I don't know all the rules or what has happened or the circumstances, but I can jump the gun and conclude that if in fact he has called the governor, there should be some mechanism in place that they should have taken care of this or given sufficient answers. But again, they say a week, I guess. Who knows? Just being familiar with the foot drag that occurs. What I want to do, out in Nanakuli, there's a real issue going on, and I wanted to talk about the PLDC, but I've given that some substantial time, and I'm doing some more review and looking around on that. My comments is that if you really want to fix it, Donovan de la Cruz, as I pointed out back in 2011 when he was the shepherd, little shepherd boy who was carrying this bag of wool, contaminated wool, with for Abercrombie and the others, people voted him in. He became state senator. And as a state senator, Donovan de la Cruz was eager to carry the load, not ever making an assessment. Well, I don't know if he even have the capacity to assess the real impact of the PLDC or even if he cared. He just wanted to get along, you know, and to be, to look good in the eyes of those who wish to screw the people. So for my common sense approach to the PLDC, one, vote Donovan de la Cruz out. Don't haggle with the good or the bad of the intent of the bill. Vote it out. Ask the lieutenant governor to get out there and speak out against this. Neil Abercrombie, he's predisposed. He's the evil doer. And if you look at the types of people, you ask yourself, how did Actus Lend Lease, a foreign company, come in and plop down? And I know some of you say, well, it was open bids, open market. No, they've been allowed to get away with quite a bit, right down to the point of handling and treating the contaminated soils on the military bases that exceeded the environmental action levels. But under the Abercrombie, I won't call it an administration, as we say in the South, under the Abercrombie administration, what happened is that these guys came into town and, you know, Hunt and others, and they're now building buildings. They're managing the Air Force Base properties and building and constructing. And when they mishandle the contaminated soil, as we've talked about on the show here a couple of times, the state under the Abercrombie administration went and lifted and raised the EALs, the environmental action levels. And we've documented the soil was being transported in place in many a places. And under the Abercrombie administration, led by Gary Gill, who sits on top of the hill with not a single education pill, went out there and raised these levels and granted them the authority. So you're breathing now and eating contaminated soil if you live on the base, while at one point they thought it was not good for you, but raising the levels. So you want to do away with the PLDC? Vote Donovan de la Cruz out and anybody else associated with that. That's where you should be, because these were marching orders. This is part of the grand scheme. You remember, it was Neil Abercrombie who lifted and suspended the environmental laws in the state here, and to, quote, accommodate the military, but it goes farther than that. And so just be wise if you're going to haggle with them. Get involved. And I would say it's the vote that will get their goat. And anything short of that, you will be talking for the next 10 years at Kauai, the same thing. Donovan de la Cruz is a guy who was, so to speak, contaminated the entire system with this thought. He's the one who introduced it. He's the one who shepherded through and assisted. So just remember that at the voting booth. Anyway, you know, we were talking about the Nanakuli situation, where the concerns are, and I understand this mantra, and I'm not offended by it. as some of you that I've communicated this spoke that you were offended that the Hawaiian people would be upset that other people could rent on Hawaiian homeland. The problem is, there's nothing wrong with that. They've lost their country. And if we are going to be true Americans and not the ones who hide our faces in our hand and see something different, overthrown, imprisoned the queen, the compensation, it's an agreement that they'll get their land back, a portion of some. And what has happened, some of the more conniving human beings that's involved have found that if they form a nonprofit or nonprofits, plural, and engage in a practice of getting money to better the community and in developing and what have you, and in doing so, they run the risk of taking and allowing, once you take the federal monies for grants and what have you, and to build properties and build housing, you can't discriminate. And so what I want to do is, I told you a while back, and if this is fair play, we'll talk about it later. If it's not, then you know this is what goes on. But what I'm going to do is play you. I've talked about there's Collie Watson, who was appointed to head DHHL, Department of Hawaiian Homelands, back in the Cayetano administration, appointed him. And what happened was the Cayetano administration appointed him, and I have a CD that I wanted to play, and we're having a problem here. But what it is, it's actually, if you hold 1 second. But anyway, Collie Watson, who was appointed and was a director at the time for 4 years or so of the Cayetano administration, he has come up with some ingenious ideas, and he's leasing land from DHHL. And what is happening is that there's not an uproar. I won't describe it as that, but the community is concerned that by renting out and taking federal money, you're going to expose the Hawaiian lands to jeopardizing, and there will be Hawaiians that will be homeless, and yet other non-Hawaiians can move in. I think that's a valid concern. I'm not offended by being the guy from the outside. But what I'm going to do is play you. This is a tape of a phone call between one of the beneficiaries of the Hawaiian homelands, who called Collie Watson because it was for clarification on what was supposed to happen and the concerns that the community has raised about the jeopardy of having non-Hawaiians rent or taking federal money, which open yourself up where you have to rent to non-Hawaiians or lease to non-Hawaiians or what have you. So this is Collie Watson, and the emphasis, it's kind of a not so clear, but what I'll describe it and do some of the interpretation, is it's going to be quick, is that she's calling, asking Collie Watson to clarify what it is that Mike Kahakina had said about the allowing. And you'll hear in here, Collie Watson is saying, I work for the Hawaiian people. I don't do anything for Micronesians, Japanese, Chinese, or Haoles. And to me, that if you're going to accept federal monies, and yet you know you have to engage this, so you're jeopardizing, you're one, insulting the Hawaiian community, and on the other hand, you're projecting on others that are non-Hawaiian discriminatory practice. So we're going to see if we can play this, and I apologize for the quality of it, but you'll get it.
Non-Hawaiian, if that was a misstatement, it's like what we did in the Ormond Project, where we used low-income housing tax credits for the elderly. Now, you have to be 62 and above, and then there's certain income. This one, the income still applies. There'll be low income. But we're going to give preference to the law by the law in Native Hawaiian. We're going to do it part of a canvassing program by visiting opening.
Anyway, I don't help Micronesians. I don't help Chinese. I don't help Haoles. Yet he's taken federal monies saying that he understands Title VI and that the discriminatory practices can't take place on his part. So this is the former director of Hawaiian Homelands. And this is a tape that I have. It was done by a citizen who did it independent of me and allowed me to copy that, and others are familiar with that tape now. But again, how is it that an individual can found a nonprofit organization, the former director of DHHL, and in turn engage and jeopardize what has been fought for in the Hawaiian community and getting land back, and then in some fancy footsteps go and get federal monies, then submit and subject the property that others have fought to get back as compensation for what was improperly taken, unlawfully taken, or what have you, and turn these new thinkers thinking so fast that they now have introduced a new element of concern. But that fact that taking federal money, knowing that you can't discriminate against anyone and you must open it up, and sitting there and saying, I will give preferential treatment to the Hawaiians, but I also, you know me, I never help Micronesians, Chinese, Japanese, or Haoles. I don't know, but again, it's an insensitive statement. But again, there's a misunderstanding in that this whole effort and development in Nanakuli is Department of Hawaiian Homeland. And again, for clarity, Nanakuli Homestead, Hawaiian Homestead Community Association is in fact a nonprofit organization. You and I could found a nonprofit. We can lease land. It's nothing to do with DHHL. They have to pay rent. They have to do the same things any other lessee. In this case, they're calling it going to be a benefit package and benefit the community. And in that, some of this is going to go back. But what happened, I went over and pulled up some of the documents. And I was going to try and call Linda Chin. There's a degree I'm going to describe it as a cover-up because I asked for the file on anything that lands that Collie Watson was leasing from DHHL or any organizations that he is involved in or is an agent or a member that is leasing lands. And in this file, I also I was seeking, you have to have insurance now. I don't know if what the explanation is. I honestly don't know. But the insurance, the policy effective date was 3/29/11. The policy expiration date was 3/29/12. Now, I didn't find, and I'm going to speak with a little caution here, I didn't find I didn't find anything that that showed a renewal of the insurance, then everyone that's leasing should have from DHL should have a valid and up-to-date insurance certificate. I made a request of the clerk. I was told they can't answer. They have to talk to Linda Chen. But Linda Chen was off island, but we're returning the next day, and that was around Tuesday or Wednesday. Never heard anything. I then wrote a letter requesting clarification and a copy and an update on the insurance policy. To date, Linda Chen has ignored or avoided me in providing that answer. So in the files, there's absolutely nothing there, nothing. And so what I did find in that document, in that file, on July 27th, for example, 2012, a letter from the Hawaii Community Development Board, where Collie Watson is talking about putting up 5-megawatt photovoltaic systems out at Barbara's Point. But again, there's Extreme Paintball Company that is on that same TMK, not the same parcel, but we didn't find any records on that. Now, they may have the records. I may have overlooked them. But again, didn't see any. I wrote a letter for clarification. They ignored. I asked to have a response by Friday. End of the day, they ignored. They didn't acknowledge anything. So I'm going to take the liberty of repeating what it said. But one of the things, sound like I'm all over the place, but I want to try and portray the lack of continuity in management. And I don't know if it's Collie Watson who used a big stick or because of his previous connections politically, but other lessees or people that lease from DHHL have had to toe the line. Their feet are held to the fire, so to speak. The racetrack out there at Kalailoa, the racetrack, they are being cited, and Linda Chen and those folks are going out and actually pursuing them for having excessive dirt, so to speak, quote. But yet with Collie Watson, he had a great number of lessees who were in violation. And in some of the letters that I saw, it was aloha, how's it, Collie? In an official letter to them, how's it, Collie? Yet the people that operate the racetrack are being the DHHL and the health department actually went there with a search warrant to take samples. Yet with Collie Watson's lessees, nothing happens. They were begging them. And I say nothing happens because I have the letters. And so I'm wanting to know, how is it that in a situation like this, you can actually have the disparity in the treatment of how it's handled from one entity to another? How is that? How is it that the state allows this kind of behavior? And yet they do absolutely nothing to correct it. And one has said that it's about a year, Collie, that we've been asking you to take care of this. You're going to have to evict this guy. And yet things go on. So I'm going to read your letter. I don't know if this makes sense to you and if I'm making sense, but for those out there that are close to the situation, they'll understand. But here's a letter from Michelle Kalhani, who is the deputy director of the DHHL. And she was also a member now of the Collie Watson's Hawaiian Community Development, whatever that organization is, but she since stepped down. Collie, this was on 3/5/2012. Thank you for your email. The concerns we have are two primary reasons. For first, we're in the midst of getting Resolution 260 passed by the commission, which would affect this land disposition. And second, LMD has been working on the global RFP. That being said, here's what we need to discuss. We are absolutely supportive of beneficiary orgs being an active part of the land dispositions and want to support that. This would be his organization, which is a nonprofit organization who's involved in the consultation or whatever the advisory of the Nanakuli development. And then you have the Nanakuli Homestead, Hawaiian Homestead Association, Community Association, who is he's also involved with as an agent at least, and at one time possibly a member. I don't have all the records sitting in front of, but you can pull up at carolcox.com and get a clearer picture. That number one, we are absolutely supportive of a beneficiary, and the question is whether your nonprofit is a beneficiary organization. End quote, is the question. HCDB is not a homestead association, although I understand the structure. Essentially, HCDB is a private, nonprofit corporation. I know you have homesteaders on the board, but that is different. Therefore, the community benefits agreement should specify how the benefits are returned directly to the homestead communities. And this is exactly what the 400, 500 people there in Nanakuli is asking. How are we, the beneficiaries of the Hawaiian Homelands Program, how are we to benefit from this? What is there in place to ensure that the revenues gotten from and gained from you renting it to CVS, for example, from California Corporation, is going to have, there's a lease in the file where they've leased to them or in the talks, but it was signed. How will the beneficiaries of that, will it not be simply the benefit to those people that own this HCDB, which Collie Watson has set up? Now, these, I'm speaking with skepticism, but officially it's raised in Hawaiian Homeland Administration. Now, the question is, why wasn't this made public, and why now are they, why did they approve this process and sign on to it, and then it's been going on for several years, this proposed development, and yet just now they raise these issues. Where was Kauhani on this issue, this very issue, when she served on the HCDB, which is Collie Watson's and others' program? Nonprofit, mind you. She goes on, we have to go beyond showing support of a private nonprofit. And that what she's speaking to is a letter. And watch how Polka had a description of it. I'm not familiar with the term. But what it is the Nanakuli, Kamaki Kanahele wrote June 20th, 2012, regarding the Kalailoa 5 megawatts photovoltaic, for example. We appreciated in your Nanakuli community presentation on the proposed 5 watts. This is Kanahele writing a letter to Collie Watson. But they're one and the same. Collie Watson is an agent for Nanakuli Homestead Association, and he's also on the HCDB, which Mike Kahakina is a member of the association as well as, and just anyway, interchangeably. But what they did was Kamaki Kanahele, the director, president of the Nanakuli Homestead Community Association, is writing to Collie Watson to support him, and then Collie, in turn, would take this letter and introduce it to the DHHL as if it is some independent support document from the community or the beneficiaries. And they're saying, the DHHL in Kahane's letter saying, no, we can't pretend. We have to ask and answer these questions, Collie Watson. We are concerned with those two issues. So, but why now? And I believe, based on the documentation that I have, I believe wholeheartedly that based on this, this project should be stopped. DHHL should stop any further progress on the Nanakuli one, and also go back and reassess these relationships that exist with this nonprofit HCDB, as well as the Nanakuli Association, and any others that they're involved in, because they're one and the same pretty much, that getting the okay and the support. So the second one was that they raise an issue with. This is a letter from Cal Hunting. The proposal you are putting forward would allow us to negotiate with a nonprofit. Please understand that we need to embrace this choice because what you have put forward essentially empowers private solar companies to find a private nonprofit partner to execute land transactions on Hawaiian homeland. So, again now, this is the gladiator, the 5-foot-tall gladiator that sits in the governor's chair, that has embraced the Hawaiian activists, the Hawaiian movement, the Hawaiian sovereignty. And yet, on one hand, he's allowing, under his administration, the Hawaiian community to be put in jeopardy, all that has been gained and accomplished. These are not my words now. These are the words of Michelle Kauhani and others within DHHL who is vying for, and I'm told that there is a faction or a friction that exists between Joby Masagadantani, I pronounced that wrong, but anyway, and Michelle. They are vying and they're trying, and the Nanakuli faction is going to not support the Joby, but the reality is there is some real dirt sliding around within DHHL, to the point that when it comes to public records, it takes several acts and several extended efforts to get them to respond. But if they think that by not responding to me, I can draw conclusions and let you fight it out as to whether I'm accurate or not. I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to draw the conclusions that you leave me to draw. And so far, with this, this letter, he goes on, Michelle goes on, please understand that we need to embrace this choice because what you have put forward essentially empowers private solar companies, and SolarCity is the company out there, and they're putting up a photovoltaic system. I have to ask myself, how is this different from Haola, a Hawaiian island, or other private nonprofits? Therefore, the proposal to pay the, quote, appraised value, end quote, is a merit on which we would be willing to take this to the commission for action and discussion. 3, you are correct that Linda is supportive of the proposal if we can come to an agreement about milestones that have to be met. I believe she laid those out in the submittal that got held off. 4, we also need to talk about other parcels you have through DHHL that are subleased. This brings me to a question. If I wanted to lease land as an individual, fine, from DHHL. But if I want to lease land and then turn around and lease it back to a commercial entity making thousands of dollars where some pay $11,000 per month for... Why would DHHL allow someone, a third party, to insert themselves when they can administer the rent and collect the rent? They're having to go and monitor these individuals anyway that are subleasing because Watson has failed in many of these instances to address it or contain these people. In one instance, they talk about oil and contaminants being spilled on the ground and what have you. So why would DHHL allow such relationship? And why now? This letter is 3/5/2012. Now, I might be an outsider meddling, but that's my nature. So, you know, tighten your belt up and accept it. I'm not going anywhere. Fraud is fraud. Wrong is wrong. Questions to be asked should be asked. And not saying that there's fraud here. But if there is something that looks like it, smells like it, we, the public, we're taxpayers, we have an interest in this as well. And we have to ask ourselves, how does the director, former director, get to gravitate back and get to operate so loosely and be policed by his former employees, and some of them, in writing the letters to him, can't say, "Dear Mr. Watson," it's, house it, Collie, in a formal document that represents the public's interest. So, therefore, the proposal to pray the praise value, we spoke. Three, you are correct that Linda is supportive of the proposal. And we also need to talk about the parcels you have with DHHL. This question came up, and we should be prepared to answer those questions. I also found it a bit uncomfortable to have HCDB listed on a delinquency list for current land and parcels, and then asking the commission to grant more land. How is it that at the racetrack, they're slamming those people, stopping short of putting handcuffs on them and putting their fingers in the socket and making them talk, that in something like this, the former director can have it cakewalk, and they're bending over backwards to accommodate and accompany this entire effort that is being perpetrated, or whatever it is, I don't know, because 400 beneficiaries at a meeting in Nanakuli can't be all wrong. At a minimum, give them credit for having questions that goes unanswered. And this is what creates turmoil, stress. And Neil Abercrombie, you need to step up to the plate and clean this mess up, because while you are easy to wear the lei and speak aloha and speak about who's in the community as your auntie and what have you, that's old school. We don't allow you in Mississippi to call us auntie anymore and uncle. So you need to get with it. These are rational, breathing, intelligent people that have concluded that they're getting ripped off, this they being in the Nanakuli community. You, Neil Abercrombie, need to speak specifically to them and not have them to go before the Nanakuli Neighborhood Board, which houses four members who sits on the Nanakuli Homestead Association Board in perpetuity and only by special invite, and then who then also share some of the role in management of the HCDB. Where is the openness and fairness in government? Who is going to screen and ensure that the interests of the people, of the beneficiaries, is protected? I've talked about this and given the list, but so this letter goes on. The primary reason for removing this agenda item was not because we want to be difficult. It was to be sure Chairman and I are able to stand behind any recommendation and or approval being submitted to the commission for decision. I believe these questions are valid ones that should be discussed privately versus publicly. In other words, we're going to take the public matter and you and I are going to flesh it out in privacy. This is what you have under the Neil Abercrombie administration. He hired Isla Lopez. He hired some other Native Hawaiian community members. But let's look beyond this glad-handing and this puppeteering or whatever you would call it. And I know some of you would probably say, well, Isla and those are not puppeteering. But it is the intent of Neil Abercrombie to allow and to rip the Native Hawaiian community off, to allow this to occur. It calls in many, many, many questions. People shouldn't have to go and protest and beg to have answers given to them when, in fact, it's people that are associated and closely and have been embraced by the administration. The administration should strike a balance and avail itself to answering these questions. The people shouldn't have to fight their way back up the stream to get what belongs to them. That is unimaginable that you would lend yourself to this, Mr. Abercrombie, Mr. Collie Watson. And these documents, there's many, many more, but again, and I'm going to continue and demand that they release them or be filing a legal action if they don't. But again, this is what's developing. So when you see it on TV, please just know that the people there that are asking the questions. When you hear the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Association says, but we have briefed them and we have talked to them. Well, just ask yourself, how can you schedule it on the neighborhood board, the Hawaiian Homestead Community Association, to come and make presentation, or the HCDB, yet you don't allow for the people to ask questions at the presentation? When your chairman of the neighborhood board sits on the Nanakuli Homestead Association and other members sit there, what do you have? It's not a cover-up. It's a block-up. Well, I won't say what it really is, but, you know. Anyway, this matter of private, discussed privately versus publicly, who on earth in these modern times would be dumb enough to put that in a public letter? Let's talk privately instead of publicly about public lands. You and I can work out a deal, because we don't want the public to be, or the beneficiaries to be, abreast of the issues in a timely fashion. See, we want to make the decision and then implement them, take certain actions, and then let them play, them being the beneficiaries, play catch-up. Like ketchup out of all, yeah, ketchup. It's a slow process if you have to play ketchup, yeah. And that's what's being perpetrated on the people there in Nanakuli and other Native Hawaiian communities. I don't care if you line me 20 Native Hawaiians and assign them as administrators in your cabinet. If you're doing wrong by the general public, the general population of Native people, then you're wrong. And those that are serving under you should speak out and say, this is, people fight for this. They lost it. It was taken illegally. They deserve it back. And not to have it trickle through their fingers and through some new fangled process that you've invoked here, Mr. Abercrombie, lifting the environmental laws and doing all of that with the PLDC. So if the PLDC is involved, guess what? If you think this process with the Native Hawaiian community in Nanakuli and the one raised by HCDB, where the DHHL is raising, imagine what the big man is going to do. Oh, we'll just have Actus Lend Lease to build the building. Where did these people come from anyway? Australia, it was a banking company. But how do they get involved? Where is the... why would you have a foreign entity coming in when you have developers here, local developers that can? I'm not advocating that they go ahead and build, because that too is questionable. But why this circuitous route? So Isla, Lopez, and the other Native members, you need to ask some questions, because once this 4 years is over, and I think I can eagerly say 4 years, you got to go back in that community, unless you swing a deal like Collie Watson, where you get to have special relationships and go ahead with these relationships, and then only 2 years later you're challenged. This is what it's about. So it's not about Carol Cox picking on the Native people who were appointed by Neil Abercrombie. It's about, if you're an implement of a faction that stands to do no good by people, then that's what you are. You're an implement. You're not an administrator. You're not a director. You're an implement to harvest, to farm, and manipulate the people, take their lands, and in turn arrive at the doorsteps with pockets full of money with your foreign country participants. So, is it bad what I'm saying? You bet it is. I stand by every word, because I have more documents that I could sit here and it would take me 8 hours just to digest half of them and turn around and give you. But I have posted them on carolcox.com. CarolCox.com. Now, I'm not bothering to do any fancy writings and much any commentary. I'm just simply posting the documents up there so that the beneficiaries who are being screwed can at least have a ray of hope, and having the document, and amongst them they can digest it and draw their own conclusion. It's just a seed of hope, folks. So it's not from a journalistic standpoint. I'm posting it up there, and those of you that really want to know what's happening, read the documents. They're available for you. I will continue to get more. We'll continue to post them on carolcox.com so that you can be informed. You can learn what they won't tell you because they're trying to screw you. I'm sorry, that's not a Hawaiian word, but that's, you know, it's an international word now. So everyone wants, this letter goes on, everyone wants everything to be put on the fast track. And the reality is that I'm only willing to make well-informed decisions. Trusting in blind faith is just not an option. I am very willing to have this conversation and will meet with you and Y. Ali Ali on Friday. I have copied Linda Chen on this message as well. So, folks, I hope that you understand that if an administrator, and we must protect the Hawaiian interests, we must. I mean, that is our duty. We go abroad to fight wars, and we rip off people here. We should be fair with justice and spread it across the board equally. But on the other hand, when our governor and the lieutenant governor, Schatz, participate in an administration, and the others that stand by, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party that stands by and watch the people get screwed and say, oh, it's their fight. No, it's not their fight. It's their loss. And you are the ones who's perpetrating this loss and inflicting the injury on the people. It's not right. It's wrong. And I'm sure your parents didn't raise you to do this, but somewhere along the way, you've gotten a party mind and you thought, the object of partisan politics today is to screw the people tomorrow. So anyway, we'll see you in a bit next week and talk to you later. Go to carolcox.com and you'll see the documents, and we'll find out about that insurance. We'll find out about how is it that others can sublease, but they're not found in the record. So we need to ask all of those questions. So take care.
Crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Sky, just the two of us, you and I. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know, just the two of us. Can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building them castles in the sky, just the two of us. You and I.
Thank you for tuning in to The Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.